listening to Castrol CarCast on Podcast One.
Well, we'll be back next week with new shows. Thank you for, 10 years of CarCast, everybody. Appreciate it. Keep you posted on all the fun stuff that's coming up. And there's a lot coming up in the new year as vis-a-vis automobiles. Right, we're going to do another car show at the Peterson, so you can come down to that. Couple got some races hopefully in Europe coming up, all sorts of stuff. First, 8sleep.com. Every podcast has mattress ads, sure, thousands of them, but only one uses technology and temperature to give you the deepest sleep. The Pod by 8sleep, first bed to combine dynamic temperature regulation and sleep tracking. Research shows a link between sleep performance and temperature. The Pod reacts in real time, adjusting the temp to keep you comfortable. The stats say it all. Pod customers fall asleep faster, toss and turn 25% less, and have a 17% increase in deep sleep, because that's what you want. It's sleep hygiene, people. Take care of yourself. Right now, could you put a price on this stuff? It's your sleep. You know how much more productive you'll be during the day? Right now, you get $150 off your Pod and free shipping at 8sleep.com/car. That's 8sleep.com/car. EIGHT.com, 8sleep.com/car. Yeah, get it on, got to get it on.
Snap, man.
Welcome to CarCast. Man, across Matt, the moderator, DeAndre over
Hello.
There. Castrol CarCast, that is. Yeah. JB Weld, made in the US of A. Pros and DIYers have trusted JB Weld for more than 50 years. We love these guys. We were just talking about SEMA off the air. I ran into these JB Weld guys. I got a whole box of goodies. And you can get it at jbweld.com and Home Depot and Amazon and all the car parts places everywhere. Also, Zyco. We love Zycoat. CarCast brought to you by Zybar for better engine performance, horsepower, fuel economy, lower underhood temperatures. That's the name of the game. This is real science. You put the. I'm actually just using some of this stuff at the other shop on the 935. So learn more at Zycoat, Zycoat.com. Yeah, I think Sean is using Zycoat on some of the stuff we're building.
Yeah, give it a shot.
On the 935.
I think we had a couple colors. I think we had a few color samples over there.
Yeah.
He's going to give it a shot.
I think we're working on some braking stuff that...
Rebuilding the... On the 935, the backing plates that go to the ducts for the venting of the brakes, the cooling ducts. And
we're rebuilding those.
Yeah.
We're rebuilding
they're a little trash, and they get some holes in the tubing, and now's the time to get it all.
And the fuel pump brackets.
Yeah, that looks good.
Yeah.
Well, I saw him the other day, and he was rebuilding the pumps. Like with new...
Yeah.
From pieces of old and new.
I'm sure
you go, hey, what does a 935 pump cost? Oh, it's $14,000, but you can get a Holley version for $99.
That's what I tell him. Get the Holley version.
Take the sticker off.
Yeah. And then he gives me one of those answers where he goes, the pressure's the same, but the flow's different. And then I go, I don't know. What does that mean? And I go, it's not going to work.
It's not
going
to work.
I go, okay. Yeah. So he's rebuilding. They're like $1,400 or something a pump.
Right. I mean, you probably got to get them from like Canepa or someplace in Europe. And
the 935, like I used to think it was bad back in the day when I had my M30, my M3 BMW E30.
Yeah.
First gen BMW. And I'd go to the BMW dealer and like go to the parts. God, that's something I haven't done in a long time, is gone to the parts counter.
Yeah.
Back in the day, the guy'd pull out the microfiche, schematic thing, and like start looking for stuff for my Datsun pickup truck, And it was always a bitch. Like when I'll finish by saying, you'd go there and the guy'd get the catalog open and he'd be like, oh, you want a head gasket or a fuel pump or whatever, injectors or something, ignition, anything. he'd go, he'd stop, he'd start at the top. It'd be like a 318i or something. And then he'd like start moving past like the 5 series and the 7. You see the prices just going up. And then, then he'd get to the M department. Yeah. And it's like, And it's like the M department's like, it's like starting on the menu with the kiddies, hot dog and fries, and like ending up with the surf and turf market price at the bottom.
Just
like
says it says market price.
Yeah, just like keep going.
M3 head gasket, market price.
Right. Oh, you're an M. Oh, boy. And then they go to the right, and you're like, holy shit.
Even the guy is surprised. He's like, we don't sell many of these. Yeah, I can see why.
But I could remember. So my plan when I had my Datsun pickup trucks, my Nissan pickup trucks, or my Z cars, or wherever, was everything I could possibly get from Pep Boys, I would get from Pep Boys. But every once in a while, it'd be like the dude, the 15 and a half version of you behind the counter at the Pep Boys would go like, that's a dealer. That's a dealer item. And then you'd have to go into the Datsun dealer. And I remember one of them had an 84 Nissan pickup truck. And that's the one I put the fuel cutoff switch on. And they pulled the ignition out. And they just like popped it. Used one of those dent pullers or something, like pull the ignition out. And they pulled it, destroyed the ignition, the key, and all that kind of stuff. And I remember that being like a kind of a big ticket item at the Nissan dealer, like, oh, the replacement with the new key and the blah, blah, blah. Yeah. It's like $123.77. And I was like, whoa, that's a lot of dough. But I also then realized that with a Craftsman stubby, just flat screwdriver, the ones, remember the stubby ones?
Yeah, yeah.
That, you just drop that in and turn it, work fine.
Well, I mean, the guy that stole the ignition key was going to take your truck. That's what his plan was as well.
I guess so. That worked fine. So I just kept that thing like rolling around on my bench seat and just put it in, you know, and start up and just throw it back on the seat or in the ashtray or something. It worked good until the cops pulled me over, which was like, they're like, they pulled me over for having the ignition blown out. Anyway, you guys know the rest of the story. Yeah. But I do remember, specifically, remember that parts counter feeling?
Yeah.
Like just going up, seeing that dude behind the thing, trying to figure stuff out. A lot of questions about, like, do they have it? They order it?
It's still a thing. It's still a thing. It's like you go to a BMW dealer and, like, you got to have the BMW battery. Because it has a memory, and you got to reset. You got to make all the power windows go up and down in a certain sequence to set the battery. And the battery is $350. And it costs like another $150 to get the guy to do the power window sequence thing.
Mm. I got to tell you.
I was like, that seems like a shit scam to me. $500 to get a battery in your BMW.
The older I get, the more I realize, you got to tell one of your buddies who's got some ins to just get you a free SUV and just screw it, man. Tired of dealing with all these used cars and parts and everything else. No, I am so spoiled, but I really think like 3-year lease, take the car, just get a new car every 3 years, whatever. If you can afford it and never deal with the parts or the maintenance or the warranty or, you know, I used to like Dr. Drew drive his BMW M5s or his BMW whatever M5 X5 wagons and stuff, and like he's always like, it's right on the warranty, and they say it needs a whatever, but we just passed the warranty and like all that stuff, and I'd just be like, just lease it for 3 years, turn it back in, just get a new one, and never deal with the warranty or the whatever. But also, Drew, he would always buy his tires at the dealership. And I'd be like, are you high? Are you insane? He's like,
it's a weird question for Drew. Like, are you high?
He'd be like, at the time he's like 45 year old guy, you know? And he's like, I'm like, what are you doing getting your tires? Because he'd be like, I had got 4 new tires for the M5 and it was $1,726. And I'd be like, no, it's too much. You know, this is like in, you know, 1998 or something. Yeah, yeah. And I'd go like, don't go to the dealer, you doofus. And he'd go, well, where else are you going to go? And I'd go, go to a tire place, go to Tire Rack or something. And he'd go, yeah, but these cars need a special tire. And I'm like, first, they're talking you into that.
Yes.
Like, number one. Number two, you can get those tires
you can get
anywhere
the same
else.
Tire.
These are Pirelli P0 with the 245 40 series on front. And I'm like, yeah, I know. Just go get them. And also, they do a little overselling of the car was designed around the tires, you know, maybe for a Bugatti Chiron or something. But you're, you know, mid-90s BMW, anything that's the same size,
yeah,
it's going to work. Yeah. And but by the way, you're not a good enough driver to know the difference, and you don't drive the car hard enough to know.
You think about it. You think about the high-end cars, anything from McLarens and Ferraris and Rolls-Royce, and you think that those cars would be the most sensitive to differences in tires and wheel weights, and then you tell me which cars have more custom wheels on it than anything out there, right? It's all the high-end stuff. Right.
Right. Well,
I mean, on the way here, like, someone was rolling in their Rolls-Royce Ghost, all custom wrapped in flat white with white wheels.
Mm.
It was not good.
Hmm. Let's see.
And the fitment looked weird.
Now, normally, I would assume that was a brother, but
it was
there's a strong Armenian contingent around here.
It was a sister.
A sister?
Yes.
Ooh, borrowed the brother's car.
Yeah.
All right, let me tell you about JB Weld. For big or small repair projects at home or in the garage, you need something that lasts. We're proud to have JB Weld Epoxy Adhesive as one of our sponsors. You keep JB Weld in the toolbox, and you can keep it in the kitchen drawer, craft room. Good for metal, wood, plastic, and more. Made in the U.S. of A, pros and DIYers have trusted JB Weld for more than 50 years. Man, when they sent me over a big swag box, I was pumped. Pumped, I tell you.
Actually, when you got it, you're like, let's bring this over to your table in the other room, because you're like, because people are going to be getting in this thing.
Yeah.
Not in this building, but in the other building.
No, no. Here, they might huff it or something, but I don't think they would actually use it for repairing things. But no, I didn't want the... I didn't want the little raccoons with the little bandit mask getting into my JB Wells. I took that box. I hid it, man.
To the good glues.
Yeah. No, you don't have to do that with adhesives in this building. You have to do it with food.
and beer.
And beer. But the other building, you got to hide the tools and the JB Weld. Anyway, stuff's good stuff. And they've expanded their line greatly. I mean, they're making everything now. So go to jbweld.com, Home Depot, Lowe's, AutoZone, O'Reilly, Walmart, Amazon. JB Weld's the world's strongest bond. So Indy 500.
Yeah, it was good. It was fun. You watched.
I watched.
You watched the good parts.
It was exciting.
The last 30 laps.
It was a 500-mile race that was separated by 0.2 seconds between first and second.
Yeah.
It's exciting. Who won that thing?
Simon Pagenaud won.
Super sweet guy.
He's got the best social media. He's just all over. He's in New York, and he's on, like, Today's Show, and his dog Norman Pagenaud is running around, and he's wearing the wreath around his neck, and he's having the best time ever, and he just seems so humble and grateful that his first time winning it. And by the way, you get a 2.66 something million dollar bonus check
for winning that thing.
Yeah, I think last year it was 2.5 with roughly the same total purse, but somehow it ended up, just doing the math on it, was like 2.669.
Mm.
Yeah,
it was
almost $2.7 million bonus.
It was a great win, a great finish, and it's exciting, especially when we know a lot of the names.
And Alexander Rossi, who came in second, has been here.
Simon's been here, right?
Simon's been here. It's been a few years, but we saw him in Long Beach, and Rossi was in here. And Graham's been here as well.
Sure.
Graham Rahal had a. He was doing really well.
Yeah.
You know, and this is what the sad part is he got in a little fender bender, if you will, with Sebastian Bourdais,
mm-hmm.
that was in the Newman film.
Sebastian's
in the Newman film. We went out to Auto Club Speedway. That was the day we spoke to Mario Andretti and Sebastian, and he seemed great. He seemed nice.
He is a really sweet guy.
And And those two just kind of slid into each other. It was a little more Sebastian's fault. I'm going to say probably a lot more. And
Graham was pretty pissed.
Graham was a little pissed. Well, and he was keeping his cool about
Graham,
it.
Graham, here's the thing when it comes to racing. Everyone is good and everyone is fast and everyone is relatively equal. So your passing, for the most part, isn't going to be, well, I'm just going to hit the turbo boost button and get wait till the straightaway and I'll just pull up next to him and I'll just blow past him, you know, because everyone has the same equipment and everyone's making the same horsepower and blah, blah, blah. So when it and as you get into the higher end, you know, you get on the lead lap with the top 15 guys, everyone's fast and everyone's moving and everyone knows what they're doing. So many of the passes are going to be like, all right, I'm going to kind of stick my nose in here and see if I can make this one stick.
Yeah.
You know, even at the level of racing that I do, like when we're out doing the Trans Am race and I got my cool shirt pass of the week. Where is that shirt? Something in the mail?
Chris has been wearing it for a year.
It's been 2 years.
In the booth.
Anyway, still check the mail. Times the mail guy
who gets
coming?
The mail?
Noon? He hasn't been in a while. Let me check. I think you're
good. Because it's been 18 months. I feel like that thing should be here by now.
Let me get a tracking number on that.
But we were going down the straightaway. The guy was driving the same Corvette I was driving, and we're both going 160 miles an hour. And at the end, when we're like turning in to the left, I was like, I got to kind of stick my nose in here.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to pass him on the straightaway. Like, we got the same car, really. Yeah. I mean, I could, but I'm not good enough. So, in the back straight, it was like everyone was like sliding around, coming off the turns and stuff. Like, no one was you know. So, I just kind of stuck my nose in. And I late braked a little bit, and he saw me, and he started to like move in, but he saw me, so he kind of backed off. And but if he just kept going, like that's the line. The line is go on down, and you put your nose in, and you're kind of saying to the other guy, "Hey, you don't want to stay on the line, do you?"
Because
I poked my nose in here, and most of the time the guys they give you the room because they're going to take themselves out as well as you out. Sometimes they don't see you, like what happened to me at Laguna Seca when I was lapping that 914.6. I was trying to stay with that RSR, and the guy just came all the way.
It's a maniac.
Well, when you're in lap 8 and fast guys are lapping you, just take a look in the mirror, dude. He just went all the way down, and he was just coming. It's like he doesn't see me at all. I don't know why. I'm driving the biggest, loudest car out there, but that guy just came all the way down. And I was like, "Oh, you're coming down. Oh, you're going to apex this turn, aren't you?" And that just forced me. There were no choice at that point. But
no spotters.
Well, you know, if somebody knows somebody's there and they keep going, then the other person has only choices to either make contact with them or drive themselves off the road.
Yeah. But if you're that guy in the big group and you've got the slow car and you're a lap down and you take a look around, you're like, where is everybody? Like, maybe you should
look closer.
Look closer. Well, someone's going to come flying by.
So Graham had his nose in there.
Yeah, he was on the inside, and Bourdais was kind of coming in close. It was kind of putting a little bit Graham into the grass.
Yeah.
And then it was very unclear. Is Graham backing off? Is Sebastian backing off? And you go through it in your head a few times. You see it again. And
at that,
you kind of feel like Graham
was pissed.
Yeah.
He should have been perturbed, but there's a kind of 30% chance of that happening when you stick your nose in on a turn that, if your other driver stays on the line, he is going to come down on you. He had enough of his nose in. That was his turn.
He stuck it out there quickly, like two or so times, enough to say, I'm doing this.
I think the way you come down on those types of situations is, if you're Sebastian Bourdais, you have to give him the space to do it with the understanding that he may do that to you again in four turns, and you got to then give him a little room.
Right.
If he's going to do that, you know, the turnabout is fair play.
Yeah. Graham was, I forgot exactly where he started, 15th or 17th, and was really climbing up. I think he was top 10 when he made that move. Talk about aggression driving you to a level of success. Sometimes you end up in an accident like Bourdais and Graham, and sometimes you end up like Alexander Rossi, who he had the fuel refilling issue, and he had a pit that was like 23 seconds because they couldn't get fuel in the car. And then they had the rookie like blocking him, like cutting across exactly what you were talking about in your race. Somebody cut across, cut in front of him, and he's banging his fist in the race at 200 miles an hour. He's banging his fist on the steering wheel and waving it in the air. I thought his arm was going to get torn off. And then he is just so aggressive and so angry. He's on the radio. He's like, "I'm so mad right now." And they're like, "It's okay. Calm down. You're going to be fine." And he just kind of pumped that aggression into leading at the end. And then at the course of the last second, Simon Pagenaud passes him, and he takes a number two spot. But that was just blood boiling, seeing red, and he just used it to his advantage.
It was a great race. I watched. Speaking of Indy 500, I watched a 30 for 30 with Janet Guthrie, first female to run at Indy, which was a good 30 for 30. Interesting subject line. Funny for us because it's essentially the same story as Uppity, but with instead of a black guy at Indy, it's a woman at Indy.
Yeah.
Uppity's been on a shelf for a year and a half. This thing came out the Janet Guthrie thing came out on Tuesday.
They finished it Monday.
when we launch Uppity, we'll get accused of copying that or being inspired by that or something. Cause it's the same. It's called Qualified. And the thing about Uppity, the whole story is about him qualifying. It's much more that than the race.
Well, there's some interviews in Uppity that you can't get today, I feel like. So that might date the movie. That might show that you filmed it a while ago.
I'm sure all the haters out there in the media world will.
So this is a full 30 for 30, not a short?
This is a full 30 for 30. I know. If I would have pitched him, well, I did pitch him Newman. They said it was good for an 8-minute short. But if I would have pitched him Uppity, I'm done pitching anyone anything anymore. But if I would have pitched him Uppity, they probably would have asked for a short.
Speaking of that,
if you watch it, though, I don't know if you can see it online, it was good, but it was mostly good because I liked the sport. The problem is Janet Guthrie is a very interesting story, but she herself is not dynamic. Her story's dynamic.
Right.
Her actions are dynamic. Willie is very dynamic.
Very dynamic.
And that's the difference. It's the same story, but the person telling it is in her. She's low key and reserved, and he's
the exact opposite.
He's the exact opposite. Right.
I was going to bring up, I'm going to tell you about Castrol first, but I was going to bring up the Ford versus Ferrari thing because the article that was came out, I don't know if you did it on ACS yet, but they said this is the Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid of the racing movies.
Yeah. Right?
And so it's kind of an interesting reference because of the Newman film and stuff. But listen, guys, Castrol Edge, it's stronger under pressure. Engines can lose up to 10% of performance due to friction. And with Castrol Edge with fluid titanium, it transforms under pressure to keep metal apart and fight power-robbing friction to unlock exhilarating performance. It's three times stronger.
Three times, boo!
Than the leading full synthetic against viscosity breakdown per the Kurt Orban test in the 5W30 VIS grade. The Edge formula always exceeds the toughest industry standards, but their new and improved formula incorporates the latest technology that makes it transform to be the strongest when pressure is the highest. Check out Castrol Edge.
So are you able to see that 30 for 30 online?
We're checking. I mean, ESPN puts a lot of stuff online, so we're seeing if it's on demand.
I'll tell you the thing about the ending of it. So she's a very interesting character. Janet Guthrie, and the story's compelling. I don't think it's as good as Uppity because there's more to Uppity. This is not quite, just doesn't quite have as much going on. And again,
there is that charisma you're talking about.
We have
as well.
The soundbite machine known as Willie T. Ribbs, and they have a nice older woman who's too friendly to pound her chest or get in anyone's grill or drop any F-bombs or whatever. So,
what?
But I will tell you, the ending, it just ended, and I was sort of like, I couldn't tell. It was such an abrupt and sort of non-climactic ending that I wasn't sure if my – and 30 for 30 does funny weird commercial breaks like noon, doon, doon, brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. And it was like it just ended.
Yeah.
And I was like, did my VCR like cut this off? Or, I mean, did
VCR, that's adorable.
Did my TiVo, did this thing just get cut off?
Yeah, what happened? Did it stop recording? Because, well, it runs out of time on the DVR. Oh. You're like, oh, is this a new show?
I had taped the Indy 500, and I was like, at the end, and it was like 2 hours and 40 minutes, and it was like 2:37, and it was like, we've got two laps to go. It's a horse race to the finish line. I was like, you better not cut. Don't you cut off. And I was trying to do the math. Like, what are they doing? 2 minute laps? Minute 47? Like, what? And it was like 4 minutes to go. Yeah. And it, seriously, with like 7 minutes left on the DVR.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it cut at 2:40 and it was like 2:33 or something. And it was like, and they just yell like, we've got three laps to go. And I was like,
No yellows. Yeah. I'll never see it.
Yeah, right. I remember going nuts.
Yeah.
Like, and because it was such an exciting last two laps. It got to the end. It made it past the checkered flag. anyway, Max Paddle looked that one up. So, Ford v. Ferrari. They haven't dropped the trailer yet, but there's lots of...
There's photos.
Photos and articles and...
Damon and Bale were at Indy, and they dropped a flag, and they did they did some interviews there, and the photos are looking good, and the director James Mangold was like, I want it to be authentic and not really CGI, and I wanted real authentic driving, and then just exactly what we were saying, what you've been saying for months now, I feel like. In the interviews, they're like, it's kind of a buddy movie. It's kind of a really like a Ken Miles. It's love and lost and disaster. And it's like, it's such a person movie.
Mm-hmm.
And for good reason, because the Ken Miles story is a good story.
Yeah, it's dramatic.
You know? So I'm excited about seeing this. Oh, and of course, they've got to do this thing where they do every time. They're like, best performance ever by Damon and Bale.
I'm looking forward to it, and I'm looking forward to it breathing life into the 24-hour war, which definitely had a lot of this in it. And it's funny, all the pictures they showed at the racetrack, they were clearly at Willow Springs. Everything's at Willow Springs, and Willow Springs is great because you don't need to change a thing. It looks exactly the same as it did in 1967.
That's it, yeah.
You know? Like, they were showing these pictures of them standing on the pit wall and standing up against the pit wall and the blah, blah, blah. And if you look at those pictures and you look at me doing that Trans Am race in the Corvette, it looks the same.
You watch that race, you watch the episode of, like, Jay Leno's Garage.
And there are,
like,
no, it's the same. There are no skyscrapers or anything in the background right. That you have to CGI out or anything. Yeah. It's just every picture.
There's not even, like, sponsor signs in the background you had to do. It was nothing. It's just dirt.
Yeah.
Just lots of brown.
There you go. Max and Pat have put up a picture of them at Le Mans. But it's just dirt. It's just a pit wall. Just dirt.
Yeah.
It's the same. It looks exact same as when we were there doing our thing or when Jay Leno goes over there and does his race over there. I'm excited to see this movie, but I'm also obviously excited because we just cut our trailer for Shelby. So we got that going on. Couple little tweaks to do on it, but
I saw the draft of the trailer, and it's gonna be good. There's so much of a story that you know, but you got to understand Carroll Shelby, the race car driver, not the car builder.
Well, it'll have everything in there. I mean, this doc is 2 hours plus, which is a lot of doc because they always come in at about 90, 95 minutes, yeah. 97 minutes or something, you know, 86 minutes.
Like, yeah. You think you're going to finish it at 2 hours or you think you got some cutting?
No, I think it's I think it's over 2 hours and that's that because we have been talking about it for a while and I keep thinking I'm looking at rough cuts or not looking at but talking about rough cuts when I'm talking about like 2 hours and 8 minutes long or whatever, but we're not. We're at the end.
Yeah.
And it's over 2 hours and that's what it's going to be because you have to cover all his driving. You have to cover all his sort of personal world and life and multiple wives and all that. And then all the Le Mans, and all the Ford, and then all the cars and all the it's like, and then all the physical stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
All the lung and heart transplants and blah, blah, blah. I mean, just can't cover it in 90 minutes.
If you had to bet Nate a dollar, what do you think is going to come out first, Shelby or Uppity?
Jesus Christ. Are you able to see the end of this qualified thing?
No, they haven't posted it online yet. I think it's just because it's so new. They want people to watch it on TV first.
I don't know how anything works. Like, yeah. Sometimes they're like, we put it online first.
Yeah.
So we drive traffic to the station. Yeah. And then sometimes it's like, we put it on the station and then we put it online.
Every station's different.
That's why.
I've been watching Billions every weekend, and somebody's like, I just finished that season. I was like, what are you talking about? That season finale's in 2 weeks. They're like, no, on demand, you can see it all. I was like, what? I was like, why is it backwards?
Why, I don't know, why aren't we just living in a world where if it drops on your network, it just drops on your website? Like, it's just out.
Yeah.
But anyway.
We're DVRing it, so
okay.
We'll next week.
I should have told you guys to do that before. I didn't know. And like I said, the ending was just weird and abrupt. But interesting story. And Janet Guthrie had she had some indie success, but she actually had more success in stock car and sort of had more rides in stock car and was sort of had, I guess, a more promising, like, it, like, when I was in high school, I loved playing football, but I was better at baseball and I should have just focused on baseball. I couldn't go that far with football. And in a weird way, she should have done that with stock car. Like, she did pretty well.
Yeah.
She was a cool story, like the woman running with the good old boys. The woman running at Indy and in Indy was cool, but not as big a novelty as the good old boys and her and those big, heavy 3,800-pound stock cars, you know, and her, you know, rubbing fenders with Petty and guys of that ilk in that era, you know. And even, like, in those guys didn't have a lot of couth. They were like, we don't want a woman out here. It's dangerous. You know, she's got heart palpitations. This is the Firecracker 600. That's a lot of racing. That's a heavy car, you know, like, but she could do it and she was good at it. And it was, seemed like more success. She got to Indy and it was the same as, It was the same story as Uppity in the sense that it's just Indy requires a ton of dough, tons of money, probably a lot more back then than NASCAR did stock car, because those cars were steel and ran on steel rims and stuff. Like, they were pretty straightforward cars, and she just couldn't find the money. And it's that kind of thing where it's like, well, it's like because it's a woman, and it's like, well, nobody who's like kind of a rookie, doesn't really have a name, they all struggle.
Yeah, they all like kind of.
So here's what I'm saying. It's like she'd say, I couldn't find sponsorship because I'm a woman. I'm sure if you talk to any of the other eight rookies, they'd go, I'm having trouble finding sponsorship because no one's heard of me and I haven't won any races. Like, you know, like, I feel like everybody on that second tier is struggling for sponsorship.
Yeah. That they still do. Everybody
does. It's not a black, it's not a black or female. It's nothing unique to being black or female. Everybody who's not a household name, who hasn't won big races, Indy and other things, who's down on that lower tier, is struggling, who's not Patrick Dempsey or somebody you've heard of.
Right.
They're all struggling for that money, for that ride. Yeah?
So, yeah.
All right.
It's funny, a lot of veterans in racing are now, like in the drag racing world, you know, there's veterans that struggle for the sponsorship dollars. It's tough business.
Right, and I think if you're a woman or you're black or minority or you're something, you can go, oh, it's because I'm this. Right. But, I mean, it's pretty ubiquitous when it comes to racing. All that being said, these people, these companies would have been smart to give her the sponsorship and the ride because, like Danica Patrick, you know, you don't have to win the race. Just be in the race and all eyes are on you.
Yeah.
You know, you get a lot of folk, you know, she's traveling around Indy and she's in 17th place and the camera's on her.
Yeah.
You know.
You spend your investment on making her marketable, whereas Danica has always been marketable, whether she's been irritated or super pleasant. She's always got something going on. She's got a lot of emotion.
Well, that makes me want to market our show with Zycoat. Heat, the enemy of speed. That's true.
Yeah.
Zybar, I mean, unless it's a foot race, and then you're in Kenya. Revolutionary high temp coating dissipates heat and increases performance of manifolds, headers, exhausts, turbos, intakes, all the stuff that gets hot. It keeps it cool. Everything to do when you pop the hood on one of those Newman turbo cars, almost everything under that thing has to do with cooling.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you ever pop the hatch on like a Porsche 962? It's a miniature little Porsche motor that's in the middle of this car, like a 3-liter motor with tons and tons of radiators and coolers
Lots of coolers.
It's all one big cooling machine because if you can get the temp down, you can turn the boost up.
Yeah.
And you can't make power if it's hot under there, and Zybar knows that. So increase the horsepower and torque, reduce metal surface and underhood temperatures. For listeners who are do-it-yourselfers, you can visit Zycoat.com, click coating services, and Zycoat will coat your parts. I think it was 10 days or 15 days. It was a short period of time. You send it in.
Yeah, I think it's about 2 weeks.
They do everything, and they send it back to you.
Super easy.
So
if you don't have the gear, you don't have the sandblaster and stuff, just send it in.
If you're not a DIYer, send it in. Or even I'm a DIYer, but I'm just in a hurry, and I want my guys working on other things.
If they can do it for you, you can do other stuff.
Zycoat.com and click coding services there. Let's see. You got an email question for us, Max Pata?
Sure do. And if anybody wants to write in, you guys, email carcastshow@gmail.com. And this one is actually a follow-up. So last month, a guy named Jake, a listener named Jake, got a new job in San Francisco, but he had a Ford Raptor. And and he was trying to ask what you guys recommend. You guys thought a Porsche would be nice. Well, he sent a picture and he writes, "Hey guys, thank you for taking my question on good San Francisco cars to compliment my Raptor. I want to follow up with what I went with. Check out the attached picture. I stuck with your Porsche recommendation, but went a little wild. I love it. Keep up the great show, Jake."
So he got himself a Porsche Turbo S.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, center locks.
Yeah.
The center locks.
First of all, congratulations on that new job you got there, buddy.
Yeah, it's a good job.
He kept the Raptor and he's got it parked in his house out in San Francisco or whatever.
Menlo Park.
Yeah, there you go. So good job there. And I love the white.
I love it white too.
And,
but now here's a caveat. I'm sure it's got a black interior. My thing is I love white with a red interior or a navy blue interior.
Mm-hmm.
Black is fine. But I love white more with a red interior or a navy blue interior.
Yeah, the blue is good.
It's good. I like the turbo Porsche. I mean, can you go wrong? How can you go wrong?
It's fantastic. And we were talking about it. I was driving the Acura NSX, so the show earlier this week with Goldberg. We were talking about that car. And the Porsche has the most sort of like Jekyll and Hyde thing going on. Like it's so easy to drive daily. Then when you put it in the Sport Plus mode and it just holds the revs up and it just turns into, it just sounds different, reacts different, and you just get on it a little bit and it's such a monster. And there's nothing better than that that Turbo S right there. Oof.
Congratulations. And also,
thanks for the picture.
When I see a Raptor and a Turbo Porsche parked in the same garage or the same driveway, I'm like, that guy's got range.
The guy's got range.
That's a renaissance man.
Our buddy David Houston, his wife drives a red Raptor, and he had the Porsche GT3.
Really?
Yeah.
She's got a Raptor?
She has a Raptor. But they might be getting a G-Wagon or something now.
Oh, I was hoping you were going to say divorce, because I'm into this chick. The more I hear about her, the more I'm into it.
No, she's super into the cars and all that stuff. And then she said the only reason why her Raptor was red, because David Houston likes all red cars. So his Porsche, his Ferrari 308, his Viper, his GT3.
I had a,
the Raptor, everything's red.
You guys tell me if I'm a dick. I was in the garage. I was in my office last night. I don't know why it made me think of my garage, and nobody cares. I got a new Jag SUV like a couple years ago. I drove it home. It's in the garage. I walked in the house. Everyone was just sitting around watching TV because that's how they vogue in there. They strike a pose watching TV. And I walked in and I went, I got a new Jag in the garage. Who wants to see it? And they all just kind of looked at me and like they looked like someone had opened the curtains when they were sleeping. You know, they were like, huh?
What?
And I was like, I got a new Jag in the garage. Who's in? And they're like, we're good. And I was like, wow. It's crazy. It's insane who I live with. But anyway.
7 weeks later, they're like, whose car is that? It's like it's been there for 2 months.
So tell me if I should be a dick or not. But so... Lynette's got the X, the Tesla. And I think she's gone last night. And Olga comes into my office, and it's like 9 at night, and she's like, I can't get the garage door shut. I hit the button, the garage door shuts, it goes down, it starts going down like 2 feet, then it stops, and the light blinks, and it goes back up. And I'm like, no one's in the garage and Lynette's not home. Yes, I hit the button. She'll do the thing where I go, I understand what's going on.
Something's in the way.
You told me this. It goes down. And I go, all right, go down and check the marker lights, the laser beam lights on the right and the left. That there's something blocking it. It's out of alignment or something. Cause that's usually what it is. Goes down, comes up. And she's like, okay, I'll check. And then she comes back into the office like 5 minutes later. Now, look, I'm happy to say I got a big house, and my office is far away from going down to the garage.
Yeah.
So I'm like sitting there. I've done 18 podcasts that day. She comes in. She's like, there's nothing blocking it. You still hit it. It's not working. And I'm like, okay. Get up, go walk down, go to the magic eye that's like closest. You know, they're both 6 inches off the ground.
Yeah.
And they're on a piece of like bent sheet metal or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the one that's close to me is like facing Mecca. Like Sonny was running in the garage and kicked it or somebody caught something on it. It's just bent and clearly facing way out. It's not making contact with the one across it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay. I just tell you, all I do is go, here's what's going wrong. And then everyone runs back. I think they go into the hall and they just stand there and they go, one Mississippi, two Mississippi.
How long would it take me to get to the
Mississippi? And then they come back in, they go, it's not working. It doesn't work. And I go, then I have this weird concern. Like, I'm going to have to pull the safety hatch string on and undo it manually and shut it and get the garage guy out because I'm out of ideas. If those two laser lines aren't lining up. So I like go down, I look down, and I see the ones just facing out. And I'm like, okay. I don't bend down. I use my foot and I just push it and bend it back. So it's generally facing the other one. And then I go over to the garage door and I hit the button. It's like, it goes all the way down. And then I'm like, all right. Now I'm in the basement, and I'm going to hit the rowing machine, but I must burn some more calories and go back up because Olga's in the kitchen. And I got to go, hey, man, like, what are we talking about here? And then I get into the conversation I have with everyone, which makes me a dick, which is they go, Olga, I went down there and the two beams, one of them was like bent and like facing the middle of the garage, you know, like, come on. Like, didn't you see that? She's like, you said to look for something blocking it. And I'm like, okay. I meant they're not facing. They're not seeing each other. Yeah. Like sometimes someone sets a bag down, but sometimes they get bent out or whatever. And she's like,
it still means they're not seeing each other. You put Phil in the way, or you bend one out of the way. They're not seeing each other.
You said to see if someone's it's blocking it. Yeah. So if somebody like put a cardigan sweater over it or like hung it over or something. And I said, okay. What I should have said is, are they bent? Like, do they see each other? And she's like, I don't know how it works. And I go, okay. You don't, by the way, we're the same age. Well, I understand. I didn't have a, you know, it's kind of a basic thing. I didn't know. I go, okay.
The garage door opener is no longer a rich man's sport. Yeah, it's everywhere.
Okay. Well, okay. But next time, just next time, if you see one that's bent and it looks like it's facing the wrong door. You said to see if something was blocking it. Okay, understood. Just they look at each other, make sure it's not bent. Do that next time and every time. Yes? Okay. Sorry. Okay. Good. All right. That's how my life works. You know what my batting average of when I tell people, look, did you check the blah, 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 blah? And they go, hey, I looked at the blah, blah, blah. And I go, okay, now I'm getting up. All right, here I come. Go back and
just look again.
Do it again.
Give it another pass.
All right.
Did you go back to the office or did you go down and row?
I rowed. 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Going strong. Sweating.
I told you the rowing machine's badass.
But the thing about me is I was perturbed that I had to make the move from the office, but I had plenty of energy to go back upstairs from the rowing machine to settle Olga's hash about these lines. You know why? Because I get beat on a lot of technicalities.
I hear that a lot around here.
I talk to people like they know things. You know what I mean? So I say things like, well, check the eyes. Make sure nothing's blocking the eyes. But I don't mean blocking necessarily. I mean, make sure they're lined up.
Yeah.
You come back up and go, there's nothing blocking the eyes. So it's not that. But it's like, yep, one of them's bent and clearly going the wrong direction.
Right.
You
same
did
thing.
Beat me on a technicality because I don't say make sure there's nothing blocking the eyes. They have to see each other, or that one is perhaps bent and not seeing. And that's the alternative. I don't say that. I just go, make sure nothing's blocking the eyes and they're communicating.
Right. Well, it's on you.
It is on me.
All right. I'll tell you guys about Geico. Everybody's got a to-do list. You drop off your dry cleaning. You pick up some milk. And now you can save hundreds of dollars on car insurance. And you don't have to drop off or pick up anything. Just go to geico.com. And in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. So if you want some extra money in your pocket, this is the most rewarding to-do you can do today. Be sure to check out geico.com.
All right. Denver Comedy Works coming up June 14th and 15th. Adam Carolla's Unprepared. Do two shows Friday, two shows Saturday. Mm-hmm. It's good. I get a little weekend work in. Also, Portland coming up. Monterey. What day is August 17th.
I'm going to say Saturday because I remember Mike August calling me and going, hey, what's the schedule look like? I said, don't do it on Quail Day.
Yeah, don't do it on
Quail Day.
Because there's a little bit of
hangover on Quail Day.
It is Saturday.
All right, so that'll be Saturday night.
Okay.
Be over there. And go to amcarolla.com for all the stuff. Go to Chassis for all the movies and not Taco Bell material and all that. And get it at iTunes and everything else as well. Shift and Steer, available on iTunes and Podcast One. And until next time, this is Adam Kroll for Matt the Moderator DeAndrea saying keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.